On this episode of TJ Talk, we discuss gentrification, Houston Black history, and the arts as we spark the conversation with photographer, visual artist, and filmmaker Mark Fury. He tells us about his infamous I Love Third Ward exhibit, which includes his original gentrification monopoly board with a Houston twist. We hope you all enjoyed this conversation as much as we did, and if you haven't already, make sure you love on somebody today, even if that somebody is you.
Mark, tell me, what did you do to love on somebody today?
So I had a good conversation with a friend who put out an album, and like, you talking about romantic love on somebody?
Is honestly the point. A lot of times some people be like, oh, well, you know, I don't have a significant other, or I don't have somebody that I can love on. But I'm like, I love on my friends. I love on my family. There are so many good examples. Give us one.
Okay, so as far as like homeboy love, like I did that. So like a friend of mine dropped an EP, and I thought it was really good. And he was kind of like, I was giving him like dope ideas and like, you know, showing him like how brilliant the album is. This dude, John Juice Harris, like he has a really good EP that's just, I think it's really dope. Like the beats are crisp. And I was just kind of giving him pointers on how he could expand, you know, like what he does, and like just kind of telling the dude how talented he is, man. Like I think he like underestimates
himself.
See how brilliant he is, you know. So I'm like, you brilliant.
Yeah.
This guy's dead brilliant, you know. So I just like try to show people love, you know, talented, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I did.
That's amazing. Like you said,
there's talented people that don't know how brilliant they are, you know.
Amen to that. And then, like you said, there being so much pressure, you put so much, as an artist, you know, you put so much pressure on yourself, especially when you're sharing your artistry with other people. It's hard to appreciate what exactly you did for the culture because you're so busy critiquing yourself, you didn't realize the type of gift that you just blessed people with. So it's amazing. Let's see, what did I do to love on somebody today? I actually reached out to
you. You're doing it now. You have me on your show. That's love. I mean, to me, that's like, and then you say I'm the first guest. I'm like, I feel that, you know, I embrace that.
Thank you. Yeah. I definitely wanted it to be somebody, like I said, that has an impact here in our city, being Houston. Yes, I'm a Dallas native, but I am a Houstonian resident. So like I said, you're doing so many things here in the city, and this platform in itself is a space for people to acknowledge things that you may not see regularly promoted on large social media because it's not sports or music, you know, or something like that. But I personally know so many artists, you know, so many people who have artistic abilities, and so for them to know that they should have the capabilities of exercising their artistry through right here in the city. Like, you don't have to go to LA, you don't have to go to Atlanta, you don't gotta be, you know, like right here in Houston, you can do the damn thing. So I definitely wanted to have you as a guest to show, like I said, showcase that it's possible, and you can be a Texas Southern graduate and keep doing the damn thing.
Absolutely. TSU.
So, that being said, for me, I, like I said, I loved on somebody today because I reached out to somebody that I hadn't talked to in a really, really long time, just to let them know, hey, I know maybe the way that things ended as far as our, you know, our relationship, it might not be cool, but I got a new number. Here's my number, you know, just so you know I'm available or you have access to me should you need it. So, you know, sometimes it'd be the little things. It was just a quick text message, humble myself, did the damn thing. Look, got no response, and that's okay. But I know that I did my part, you know what I'm saying, to love on somebody today. So let's get into it. This bio of yours, you are a videographer, a filmmaker, a photographer, entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about who Mark Fury is.
So Mark Fury is a guy that is a compulsive creator, like even all the way back
I
to
like that.
All the way back creator. To childhood, you know, I draw and stuff. And then, you know, it's interesting, is like toys that I could not get via my parents, if I had some clay, I'd make a clay version of it. And like, that's looking dope. Back, I'm like, that was kind of brilliant. You know, like characters I see in movies, if they were an action figure, I just make it out of clay. And I did that like without being in art class or anything. I just like learned how to mold clay.
That's like me in painting.
Yeah.
Didn't take not one class. And
I didn't know you painted. Why do I not know you paint?
You know, honestly.
Do you post that? Because
I don't know. You know how we were talking about that critiquing thing, how you be the hardest on yourself?
Oh, okay.
That's so mean, because I'm just like, there are so many other artists I'm just like that paint better than me, you know, and I just know I be working on my craft, and it's currently very 2D, and I would love to take a class that would teach me how to have like more in-depth painting. But you know, I just, it is something I keep to myself, I guess. I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'm gonna do better. What we just talked
about?
Yeah,
love on yourself.
I'm gonna do better.
It could be your art. You know what I'm saying?
So
this is my stuff. You see my stuff? Yeah, I took these pictures.
Yes. Yes, I went to that one art exhibit when it was downtown and you had your pictures on display for the Eyelister Award. Yeah, I was there.
Okay, right on.
So yes, I love it. So again, how exactly do you feel that? Would you say that you feel like you're a professional artist in your industry?
I say that outwardly, you know, because it's better to. You know, like, yeah, I say that. I embrace that, yeah. And, like, I say, like, as far as, like, me doing stuff professionally, like, where I just dove all the way in, it's probably been, like, 2015, 2016.
Okay.
You know, because before that, I knew I liked doing it. I knew I enjoyed doing it. But I didn't know how to, like, you know, how do you secure the bag doing art, you know, like, so it was like 1 year, really kind of kicked off with my project Real House art installation that I just dove all the way in. I'm not doing a 9-to-5 ever again. I'm too wild for that. Like, I just.
Lovely. That's what every entrepreneur strives for, is to break away and have the ability to capitalize off of what they love versus what they need to do to survive. Because the moment I figure out how to make this pop off, that 9-to-5 is a good hustle though. But, you know, it's like you said, everybody wants to be able to walk away from that and say, I'm just going to do what I love every day.
Yeah.
So that's a blessing.
You don't necessarily have to monetize your art as long as you enjoy it. It gives you happiness and joy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I decided, I kind of like, along the way of selling t-shirts and stuff, I kind of realized I like interacting with people. Like, I like making people happy. It's like a compulsive behavior I've had since childhood. Like, I kind of like everybody around me good. It's kind of like something I was born with. So whenever I throw events, like I used to throw these elaborate house parties where Christmas costume parties are epic. Like, if you dig enough, you find somebody that's been to one of my Christmas costume party where you dress up like some Christmassy. Like, it would be like cartoon character, like,
you know, just like have to TV be creative, like, movie. Actually get in your creative bag.
Yeah, you make it up. You know, it could be like Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus, or like your own spin on that. You know, one person dressed up like Heat Miser.
Oh, wow. That's one of my favorite Christmas. I have that on DVD. That's like one of my top favorite Christmas movies is Heat Miser. And Okay, so you mentioned the I Love Third Ward project, Row Houses. So I personally do remember when that was a thing. Unfortunately, I came towards the end of the projects about time. I realized what it was. Your exhibit was already gone from the inside. And I was so sad. So tell me more about how the, why, first of all, what are the Project Row Houses in Houston for those that do not know? And why exactly did you pick that location?
So how it came about, like, so Project Row Houses is a row, it started as a row of shotgun houses on Holman Street, where, you know, it was early 90s. It was like kind of like just row houses, and they were getting torn down So like a few artists of the time, like including Rick Lowe, Jesse Lott, Lloyd Newsome, and some other really great cats, got together. I think they got a grant, and they purchased the lot, purchased the land with it. And you know, back then stuff was a lot cheaper. So it kind of grew into a place where artists can populate the rows of houses and do whatever they want, any type of artistic expression. So fast forward to 2017, that was the round 47. So there was like every 6 months is a new round of artists. And if you go in there and you see what the artist did, it's usually based on a theme. So my theme that year was gentrification. So I was already taking pictures of like places in the third world area that I knew weren't going to be around. So I was taking all these cool pictures, like just over time. And like there was, I also did like a short film in 2008. It was a comedy about gentrification called Here Comes the Neighborhood. So it was like satire. It was like an HBO contest. So I got like third place.
Okay. And,
yeah, this is all before like Facebook was a thing. So
right.
Kind of like you just know if you're around and you know. So it was a 5-minute comedy short about gentrification where, you know, people were selling their homes. It was just like really, it was like satire and over the top comedy mm-hmm. about what it's like to live in a gentrified neighborhood. And everything that I put in that was satire at the time, that was over the top comedy, came to fruition.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it happened, didn't it?
Yeah, everything came and went to pass. Like it was like a prophecy that I put in that. So bringing that up is the reason why I initially was asked to be a part of that round.
Thank you, Taylor.
Yeah. So it was like, and like, you know, by that time, you know, it was like years later and I was like, you know, I got all this other heat, you know, I got these like, you know, photos, you know, historic photos, I got documentaries, I got this and that. And like, well, we want to show that movie, you know, because like apparently Project Row is a big fan of that and they would show it before their meetings and stuff. And I didn't know that, you know.
So look, people opening, getting you your flowers, you need
that. Yeah. So the opening day, I showed the movie, but by that time, like I had the whole Monopoly board in there. And that really came about because with everything I do, I like to transform the space. Like I don't want it to just be what I'm asked to do. Like I just have to take it up a whole
other level.
So to me, Monopoly was what it felt like being in a living Monopoly board was what it felt like to be part of gentrification and living in third ward. Like I'd go drive somewhere and I'd be like, I'd look at a lot and something was bulldozed and I don't remember what that was, you know? Yeah, so that became what it was. Like it became a big deal. Like I still had my pictures on the walls, you know, mm-hmm. the Monopoly was how it felt. And on the outside, I put I Love 3W really big. And that became like this big place where people would take pictures in front of. And I mean, that was the function of it, where people can go in and take pictures in front of, but I didn't know, like, just get, woo!
Yeah, it would blow up the way that it did.
Yeah, people in the
street. That's how I found out, like, was on Instagram. Somebody posted a picture, and I was like, what's that?
Yeah. So people still like, yo, where's this artist list? Nah, it's gone.
Right.
But if you want to see my current stuff, go to Station Museum. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's how that came about. And I just kind of kept that theme, the Monopoly and gentrification theme. When I did the talking phone that had mm-hmm. played buttons, the buttons would play like audio sounds of Third Ward, like the TSU Marching Band, Ocean of Soul, and how it sounds to go through the Frenchie's drive-through and like just all kind of cool stuff like that.
Yes, and that's definitely something that's out of the box. Especially like you said, giving people a sample of what real Houston looks like. It's mm-hmm. for the Black community on top of that, because I personally feel like I feel like the Black community is what keeps people coming to Houston. Like the Houston culture that's created has been created around Black culture. Like there's no other reason that, I mean, because we've just seen an influx of people from all over the country, from California to Florida to Georgia, look, from Dallas, there's so many people that live here in Houston now, and everybody wants to get some of the sauce, but it's like all of the sauce is from the Black people. So with the I Love Third Ward, like you said, you had no idea that it was going to blow up and turn into such a thing. Like you said, that happened back in 2017. So here we are in 2021. And as you said, your exhibit is still on display currently at the Station Museum, right? So why exactly did you pick that museum at the Station
So again, they picked me. It was like
Museum?
one of the people that worked there. His name was Alex too. He's a cat that, and here's another lesson you learn about, like, always keep in touch with people, like always, be cool with everybody. Like I would see him at parties, like these cool underground parties. Because one thing about me is I go to different sets. Like a lot of people stay in their own worlds, their own set. But me, I go to different sets that, and sometimes I'll be the only Black person there. But the fact that it was just cool, like I had to see it, like people in different age groups or people in different like tastes or whatever, or people into different genres of art. If it's cool, I want to like see that. I want to experience what that is. So Alex is a cat that I would always just see at these cool art parties, and we just always kept in touch on Facebook or whatever. So he got into a position of power at Station Museum, and he like reached out to me and said, "Hey, we're doing these outdoor murals for the pandemic, and want to see if you got anything you want to submit." And at the time, like I thought the whole Monopoly Third Ward thing was kind of ran its course or whatever. So I was sending him all this other stuff, and I wouldn't, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then I kind of sent some of my old stuff to Project Grow. He said, "We kind of like some of that Monopoly thing is kind of cool." So I was like, "You know what? Let me reach back into that energy." So I want like this big, gigantic Monopoly board. Every time I do a Monopoly board, I just want it bigger. Huge. I
Yes,
want it like
because
when
at
people
the
gonna be
Project
part
Grow
of it.
houses, it was on the wall. It was like on the wall of the house. And so how did you create that big ass board?
Let's see, how that came about was
Did you create it, like the board?
I designed it on my computer. And because at first it was like they wanted people to paint stuff. I was like, I just, there's too many lines and letters. I wouldn't be good at that, Like, so they went ahead and digitally printed it, and they really helped. Like the cats there, they could build stuff. So they made, this big backdrop, like just plywood, like big wood background. And they just kind of got it printed and mounted it on there. And I was going to get the dice made, but they made the dice too. Like I told them, just gave them the specs of how big they need to be. It's like they need to be like something you can sit on, like chair height. I actually wanted them bigger, but they kind of like got to the right height that it worked, where you could like sit and dangle your feet and relax and then look at the
Yes, because I
board.
did.
And people stand on it and take pictures and stuff. So that's how that came about, and it's gotten like a lot of love, like just like the first time, just like the Project Grow House. So like people are taking pictures in front of it and really kind of rocking out to it. And I got another thing that I'm adding to it. Probably this coming week or the week afterwards, there's going to be a QR code to the left of the board, and you can scan it with your phone, like you go to when you go scan menus during the pandemic. And now it's kind of like normal, like you can scan a QR code and you can read the menu. So this, when you scan the QR code that'll be up pretty soon, you can step back. How that came about was
Did you create it, like the board?
I designed it on my computer, and because at first it was like they wanted people to paint stuff. I was like, I just, there's too many lines and letters. I wouldn't be good at that, Like so, they went ahead and digitally printed it, and they really helped. Like the cats there, they could build stuff, so they made. This big backdrop, like just plywood, like big wood background, and they just kind of got it printed and mounted it on there. And I was gonna get the dice made, but they made the dice too. Like I told them, just gave them the specs of how big they need to be. It's like they need to be like something you can sit on, like chair height. I actually wanted them bigger, but they kind of like got to the right height that it worked, where you could like sit and dangle your feet and relax and then look at the
Yes, because I
board.
did.
Yeah, and people stand on it and take pictures and stuff. So that's how that came about, and it got like a lot of love, like just like the first time, just like the Project Royale. So like people were taking pictures in front of it and really kind of rocking out to it. And I got another thing that I'm adding to it, probably this coming week or the week afterwards. There's gonna be a QR code to the left of the board, and you can scan it with your phone, like you go to when you go scan menus during the pandemic. And now it's kind of like normal, like you can scan a QR code and read the menu. So this, when you scan the QR code that'll be up pretty soon, you can step back and aim your phone at the board and stuff will happen on the board. Like, just like, you remember when people play Pokemon, they look in their phone and you see things happen. So this, I
That's
made,
dope.
yeah, and it's really cool. Like, I just can't wait for y'all to see it. Like, so that'll give, once I have that worked out, like, proper instructions, because what I've been doing is meeting people at the board and testing it out. It's like an Instagram filter. It works like an Instagram filter. So I'm seeing whose phone it works on and whose doesn't. Because right now, unfortunately, Samsung phones are giving me all the drama. So I got to cater to the masses. Everybody
Right,
else,
everybody wants to be
at a certain
included.
point, like that's all I can do, all I can do until I figure out, the other way. But that's gonna be really nice. I'm probably gonna have like a meet and greet or something where I talk to people and stuff and tell them my journey and like a filter release party.
You
Yeah.
should. And I need an invitation whenever you decide
Girl,
to
you invited any,
reveal.
listen,
Yes,
you
I'm so
invited
excited.
anything I do. Just come on through.
And look, and I've been
Advance
jealous
invitation,
too,
okay? All
right?
right.
And just for the record, for those of you again that do not know, the Station Museum is right here in Houston. It is off of Alabama in La Branch. They are open Wednesday through Sunday, I
I
think.
want to say
And
10 to 6.
yeah, I know they close at 6 for sure.
Yeah.
I do know that. And it's free, guys. Go,
And it's right
please.
across, like a lot of people know where Axelrad is, and that coffee shop next to Axelrad, so it's right across from there.
Right. So y'all should definitely go check out the exhibit because it's like you said, it's something that you've never seen before anywhere
Right.
else. So you should definitely go to
That's
the Station
a loaded
Museum to
statement.
check it
You've never seen it anywhere else.
Never seen it anywhere else.
Yeah, okay.
It's
That's an inside
amazing.
joke, unless you know what I'm talking
If
about,
you
so.
know, you know. So with that being said, that is not, like you said, the only project that you have had here in the city. You have had multiple. One in particular that also caught my attention was for the Extraordinary Elders
Oh,
Project, where
yeah.
you had a partner. Ooh, I want to say, am I saying this right? Is it Bussy Peters?
Boosie.
Boosie, okay, Boosie Peters. So yes, tell me more about the Elders Project.
So the Extraordinary Elders film project is we saw that like there's a lot of elders of the community have these profound stories, like Dr. Freeman when he was alive.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, Coach John Wilkerson, who's like a famous tennis coach that taught at McGregor Park. And he actually taught the Williams sisters for a brief period. And a lot, Mother Denberg, that was like kind of like a civil rights leader, civil rights activist. And she always be at Shape Center. She actually passed away 2 weeks after we shot her interview. So
Oh,
basically, like,
flowers.
we, yeah. So basically, we would have these interviews of the elders, but they'd be interviewed by children.
That was my favorite part. They had the kiddos
And the kiddos,
interviewing the
and
elders to
and that
bridge
shows
that
like
gap.
how, huh?
I said to bridge a gap between the
Right.
old school and the new school. So that's why it was one of my favorites.
And I always like to talk about like the power of collaboration, because I know like I wanted to shoot elders, Boosie wanted to shoot elders, but actually started with wanting to shoot Mother Denver, and it kind of grew into elders, and then it kind of grew into she had the idea of children doing, being the interviewers. And at first I was against it, because being in film, I always think of like children as a liability, like what's going to happen, parents and stuff like that. But like Boosie works in the world of what's it called, homeschooling. So she had a network of children, and everybody was cool, and parents were cool, and they show up with the kids. And I made T-shirts with the logo printed on them, like the Shoreneer Elders logo with like a trophy. And the kids would wear the shirts when during their interviews. So I'm a brandaholic. Everything got to be branded. Everything got to have a cool name. Everything got a website domain. Everything's got to have an Instagram account. So like that's just kind of my background. And so that kind of like people love that. You know, we're about to rev up and do some more of those interviews since the pandemic is over. So that's gonna be up next. That's gonna be cool.
Cool, cool. Yes, I am so excited. Like you said, to get involved. In watching the new videos, just because I learned so much about, like you said, elders that are right here in Houston. A lot of people don't know that Houston has that much history in it. Just like people don't know the one of the first sit-ins that ever took place in the state of Texas took place right here in Houston at the what used it used to be a corner store, and it is now the post office off of Alameda. But when it was a corner store, people went in, TSU students, let's clarify, not people, Texas Southern University students.
Sit in and fought for their rights.
A lot of people don't know Houston has all these staples, and I, like I said, felt that was something extraordinary. So to get those stories before you have to give those flowers, it's important, especially for the children. If you had to count, how many exhibits have you had here in Houston, or in general? Look, because let me not put a ceiling on what you've been able to do. Look, you could be international for all I know.
So I can count off the top of my head 5 photography exhibits. If you want to count the public art projects, there's Project Road, there's Station, there's 2 of those mini murals, like where the Blight Box paintings that I did with Israel McLeod. There's 2 on Emancipation, one on the corner of...
That's on the corner?
Yeah.
What?
That's me and Israel McLeod. He did...
Get out of here!
Yeah, we sketched it together, and he did the mural. He did, like, the whole, you know, put his... His flavor and imagination and brilliance
that's
on it.
Dope.
And the one on Cleburne, he did that too. Like this one with TSU Ocean of Soul. Mm-hmm. And,
oh, yeah, seen that one.
Yeah, you pass by it all the time.
Yeah, I'm like,
I want to give a shout out to whoever's like pressing the heart button over and over again. I love that.
We love y'all.
Whoever that is, thank you.
So, what is your dream location to have your art on display?
Like in Houston or anywhere?
Anywhere.
You know, I would like to do something gentrification related in like Harlem or Brooklyn.
Ooh.
I think that'd be really neat.
Yeah, I've been in New York. It's
because those are the main really people. Like, when they come to Houston and they look at my stuff, it's like, yo, this son, this right here, yo, this Monopoly Porch ish, yo, that's I lived through that, son.
It's crazy. So as an artist, being someone that, like you said, is a constant creator, how do you get past roadblocks or mental blocks where you don't feel like creating, but you know you need to get something done?
Really, a lot of times it's emotion and feelings. Like, let's say you're not really feeling inspired, the best thing to do is look at something you've done or just start doing something, anything, you know, just like scribble on a piece of paper and make a, like draw a cartoon or something, you know, like do doodles, you know, like anything that'll get you going. Because what happens, like a lot of times when you're uninspired, it's really just an emotion. You can still create without feeling inspired. You switch to a different part of your brain, the logical part. Like if you're a creative person, you're like, I don't feel like it, you know, it's just don't, you know, just like do some, tap into another side of your brain. Like, if I was feeling like this, if I was feeling it, then this would be cool, you know, and you just like, just do something, like open up your computer, like whatever your medium is, like if you're a painter, like, you just like, I'm not inspired to paint, but I'm going to at least paint this canvas a solid color and think of what I'm gonna do on top of that later, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the first thing that pops on my mind is a tricycle. I'm gonna draw a tricycle on this red background. All right, now it's raining outside and I heard some lightning, so I'm gonna draw a piece of lightning, you know, shocking this tricycle. You know, just make up some stuff. And like after a while, you're like, man, this is weird. I don't know where this came from, but I kind of like it now. Like, so I'm gonna keep going. You know, that's just, it's really just mind trickery. You just like, you know, keep going or go in a different direction. Or just, that's really all it is.
What would you say is your favorite exhibit that you've done so far?
It's always the next one. And that's like a line I got from, what's the dude's name?
I love that.
The guy, man, I can see his face in my mind right now. You know, like, he did the song, the A-Train. Anyway, he was like a famous composer from the 20s, 30s, 40s. If anybody knows who I'm talking about, go ahead and drop a comment. Very famous dude. I don't know why I can't think of his name. It's not Cab Calloway. It's the other one. But anyway, I saw an interview of him because ironically, he kind of reminded me of Dr. Freeman. Mm. And I was like hearing him and people asked him like, what's your favorite composition you ever made? And he's like, it's always the next one. You know, it's the one I do tomorrow, you know? And that's kind of like how you gotta be. Like, what's the next thing she's gonna do?
Okay, she says Duke
Ellington, yes. Did somebody drop that? Yeah. Yes, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Like, the pandemic gave me these weird memory lapses.
Right, me too. I'm like, you think you're losing it?
Yeah, you're like, the guy, the freaking guy. You know I'm talking about the guy. You know, so I've been doing that a lot.
No, but you said, so your favorite is always the next one. So what's next for Mark Fury outside of, let's see, we've talked about the QR code for your station museum. Do you have any future photography exhibits?
I'm taking a lot of images, some new style stuff that I'm doing to continue, you know, the shots of the area, like the landscape shots of the area, but in a different way. And I'll reveal that when I've done enough where I want to show, but that's the next wave. I also want to get into portraits, like women portraits, but like in a very artistic way. And I'm trying to think of the direction. Like I want to do it different than other people are doing it. So I'm trying to work that out. Like what's the vibe I'm going to go for? Like, you know, cause I think women are kind of like these heavenly, like, you know,
amen to that.
I don't know the word creature. Like I can say creature. It's like creatures, like a weird word.
Creatures are safe. It's heavenly
beings. They can produce life, but they're also like, you know, you can feel a certain type of way, like just looking at the form of a woman. Like, and there's so much creativity comes out of women, and somehow I want to like capture that in different ways that go beyond just like taking sexy pictures and stuff. Like, you know, you can't. It's really hard.
It's hard to omit the sexy.
Yes, you can't. So why omit it? You know, that's part of it. You know, so like, how can I do it in a way that's like awesome? You know, so that's the next vibe. So I might just be doing a lot of practicing first, like, you know, with natural light and seeing how that would grow.
You being somebody who has, like you said, stepped out on faith, been able to excel in your own form of artistry, what would you say to someone who is currently an artist having an issue with getting out there to the public eye?
You have to have like a certain tenaciousness about it, like because if you really want to make something happen, it'll happen and you figure out a way.
Mm-hmm.
I think what people get caught up in is the right or wrong way to do things.
Mm.
You really kind of have to find your way and keep at it. Like for me, another thing that propelled me to be good at sales was I ordered too many shirts for this Robert Glasper concert that was at Emancipation Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to wear designs and people were supposed to come, and it was really cold that night. It got really, really cold. So everybody was just kind of like trying to keep warm, and you know, they didn't really wear my shirts on stage and blah, blah, blah. So I had all this merch and I sold it over the next year. And they kind of forced me because I didn't want to like sit on any of that. So like I just continued like go hard with pop-ups. And along the way, like I just met a lot of really great people and made a lot of good contacts, a lot of people. It really helped me like get to the point where people got to know Mark. I like got to know my frequency and I got to know theirs and I had a routine. And it really all worked out for the better situation that lasted for years afterwards. Like, you know, I'm still, even if I didn't have the Monopoly board, people would still be like, I really like what you did. Like, I'd be in a grocery store, you know, thank you for doing this, you know, that I'd be hearing that. So that always made me feel good. So that kept me going the most, more so than the money, just because I sold a lot of shirts, so I did pretty well. But like more so, it was like I just enjoy making people happy, and that's my foundation.
Okay, so tell us, what can we do to support your business?
So right now, I got a great shirt that's on display. It's called a take on like the check cashing places of Third Ward or like any type of hood where you have cash, and credit is one of the big words. So I put pay me my cash and give me my credit on a shirt. Let me see
And
if I
my
can pull it
shirt
for you.
actually out for delivery. So,
What? Okay.
yeah,
Let's
I
see if it's
checked.
here.
It hasn't got here yet. Woo-hoo!
I don't know why they don't make it like where you can see like where it's not reversed. But anyway, that's my shirt. And you can order yours on my website, ilovethirdward.com. Or really, to make it easy and lickety-split, go to my page, I Love Third Ward on Instagram. And it's in the bio. You go straight to it.
So, with that, I would like to say thank you, Mark, for joining me today on the Melanin Mic. As you said, you can support Mark and his business by stopping by the Station Museum to check out his current art exhibit that is on display. And again, it's actually outside, so the museum doesn't have to be open for you to go check it out. And again, it's off the Alabama and La Branch right here in Houston. Also, follow the link in his bio to get his shirt. You can shop Melanin Mike merch at
I did. I bought
our
one of her
website.
shirts.
I think I mailed it to you.
I got it.
Okay, cool. I was like, I think I saw that one. And so yes, you can copy Melanin Mike merch from melaninmikemerch.com where it is available. Next TJ Tuesday, we will be here with Adrian, who is a professional celebrity basketball player. So, definitely wanted to get him on the show to exhibit the fact that you can be a black man and not have to go exactly to the NBA in order for you to have a career in basketball. And he's also a father, he's a girl dad. And he is too is an entrepreneur. He owns his own brand of basketballs. So, definitely was excited to get the okay from him to join on the show. So we will be here next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with another guest. And yeah, I think that's everything that I have today.
Sounds good. This is a
So
wonderful
thank you.
interview, and I really enjoyed it, and it was an honor to be here.
Thank you. And I don't do anything else today. Make sure you love on somebody today. And I think that's it. Thank you so much, Mark. Bye, guys.